Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above today, the last day of September, the 30th. Volume down, mischief managed. It's my favorite saying this morning. Mischief managed, because that comes from Harry Potter. It's magical. And it just seems like today's one of those days where things flipping out at the last minute, not happening the way you think they should happen. Mischief managed, right? Well, I hope everybody is having a good morning so far. And today we are going to chat about several different things. First, of course, is what is happening here in the moment for the day today, the astrology of the day. Not a lot going on today, but that is because we're in preparation for tomorrow's full moon, which happens across the Aries Libra axis, the axis of love and war, the axis of self and others. So we'll have a chat about what is coming up for the full moon, what to expect from it, where it's happening in your chart, etc. And then, because it's Wednesday, it means we will also be chatting about what is happening in the sixth house of Venn astrology chart. So we've gone through the first five houses, talking about what they mean and what the rulerships are. Today we'll go into the sixth house, and then we'll have completed the first six houses out of the 12. So the more personal houses, if you will. And next week, when we get back into this, we'll be starting on the inner personal houses, 7 through 12. So personal houses, interpersonal houses. So I'm going to check in real quick, see who's with us this morning. I'm not sure if Asa is going to be able to join us, but hello, Ursula, Elisa, Debbie Tippett, Tumiel, Mimi, Amy, and Leilani. It's great to see you all out there. And your Paula Deen voice, that's great. Tati, good morning to you as well. It's good to see people. Jessica Brooks, hello there. And anyway, so this morning, let's chat about what is happening in the day itself before we jump off into what is happening tomorrow with the full moon. Today, we still have the moon in Pisces. So it is a dreamy moon placement. It is filled with imagination. It's also a little more lazy in terms of the energy. It's not like driving at us to go someplace. It's not pushing at us. But the moon in Pisces is also going to be a meandering, wandering energy today as it moves into the void at 10:30 a.m. my time, Pacific time. And that'll be about 1:30 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And it will stay in that void until 7:48 p.m. on the West Coast, 10:48 for those of you in the East. And that's when it will break with the moon's movement into Aries in preparation for that full moon tomorrow. So while the moon this morning is sitting in Pisces, before it moves into the void, we'll have two aspects that it makes, both of them fairly decent aspects. So today's not going to be a real cantankerous kind of day. That'll come more tomorrow. But there is a sextile to Pluto and a sextile to Saturn that are activated by today's energy. Pluto, that means good comes to those who wait, right? Pluto is a planet of transformation, taking us from where we are to where we want to go via the darker realms, meaning through the dark night of the soul, through recognition of what's going on in our psychology, processing our own goo, if you will, and allowing us to move out into the light. So we're going through the dark and into the light. So good comes to those who wait, or those who are willing to process through whatever it is that life is presenting you. The other sextile, of course, then will be Saturn. And a sextile to Saturn is one that's very stable. This isn't an instability in the force, if you will. This one's stable but cool, emotionally sort of stepping back, being a little more detached or aloof, if you will. So maybe emotionally this helps us today. We can be cool and calm and collected before we go into some of the energies that other people might be already feeling, those energies across Aries and Libra. it was funny this morning because I said to my husband, oh, because he's a Libra, right? So I'm like, oh, you need to be aware because you work with some Aries people and things can get conflict and confrontational for you today. He's like, oh, that already happened yesterday. And I went, ah, I should have said it yesterday because we're building up to that in full moon energy. He works with a couple of Aries hotheads and it was, and he's a Libra, right? So they're across an axis from one another. And so one is reflecting something to the other. And what is that? Well, likely some kind of conflict or some kind of argument or something that is tension filled, breaking because of the two energies, right? So the energy in Libra compromising and willing to make nice, an energy with an Aries making it more, you know, outward expressed through maybe conflict or anger or upset, and how the two would work together. So I'm trying to warn him, but it's already been enacted. But I did tell him, watch it for the next couple of days, because likely that is going to happen. And it's interesting because I already had another Libra friend yesterday with an issue with an Aries person in their life. So you can see that Aries and Libra are playing their roles quite nicely right now in the buildup to the full moon. But for the most part, today's energy, it might be colored or peppered, spiced up with that, you know, potential for conflict and upset. But for the most part, today itself is calm and cool and stable. So we have this potential because of the moon's building energy, but it doesn't necessarily say that it's going to happen that way for you today. Now, tomorrow's another day, and the day after also another day. Today we have a minor square configuration going on between Mercury and Neptune. So this also adds to sort of the daydreaminess of the day. It's hard for us to focus at times, perhaps, because there's a little bit of tension building between our recognition of the real world versus our wanting to idealize everything. And so we have to sort of stay on the practical side of things while letting your imagination run, etc., right? Avoid confrontation, because it may not even be clear to you what it is you're being confronted by, or for the other person who might be confronting you, they're not even clear about what it is that they're confronting. Literally, they may be confronting something deep within them, but you're just standing in as the projection field for that person to see themselves more clearly. So when it's hard for us to focus and it's daydreamy energy, nothing that really comes out is very clear. So we want to be very careful about what we get drug into today. If it's an argument, you know, walking away may be the best bet. Just wishing the person well and saying, let's chat about this at another time, right? Walk away. Not walking away with an attitude either. Right. When I say walk away, I'm like, okay, let's make peace as much as we can right now, maybe agreeing to disagree until we can come back and talk about this more later. So keeping yourself from getting drawn into a drama today, because first of all, nobody's really thinking clearly. And with the moon heading into a very long void, I mean, literally 10:30 a.m. to 7, that's like 8 hours, right? 8 hours in a day of a meandering moon where nothing's clear, right? So it's not, today's energy is not conducive to starting things, getting into an issue with someone. It's more about waiting, you know, to see for clarity purposes, or to wait until the moon actually changes signs and becomes more activated. Right now, it's like just wandering around in circles, right? Just that's kind of the feeling, meandering. So if you don't have clarity about something, it's certainly not the time to take action. And even if you think you have clarity, you may not. So again, slow things down enough and really understanding whether or not you're clear about what you're doing, or if you're still in a fog or a daze about what you're doing. Now that Mercury sesquiquadrate, it is a minor square, Neptune, is activated later in the day. So that maybe has a play later on when you're maybe feeling a little more tired, or when the moon has already moved into that void. So maybe making sure if you have decisions to make, do them early, and then later, just wait. Okay. And let's see, let me go back here and see how everybody's doing. Leilani says, LOL, my Mars is in Libra, so I always compromise, but my Aquarius Sun and Scorpio Rising Lilith and Leo make me ultra nutso when I do lose it. Likely, you know, what's happening for you, Leilani, is you're losing it in a nutso cuckoo sort of way because you don't have a release valve that is allowing you to release, right? You're so busy compromising, so busy making nice that all of that anger builds up. And then when it cannot stand it any longer, like the lid on a pot of something that's boiling, it pops off and expels all of the steam and the heat that's been building up in you for many days, maybe many weeks. And you need to be able to release that in very positive ways over time instead of all at one time. Good morning, Augustina. Good morning, Asa. And yes, you did. And Sylvester, good morning to you. Sending love and positive vibes, working on 1 hour of sleep. Oh my goodness. I'm so happy that you joined us, but goodness, get some rest. Christine, good morning. Thank you very much for reminding everybody to hit the like button, the thumbs up. That lets me know, lets my viewers know that this is worth watching. And please feel free to share it with your friends. If you like the videos, then also please subscribe. And you can even hit the notification button. That will let you know when it looks like a little bell. That lets you know when I'm coming on air. Okay, so who else is out here? Augustina said, I had a fight with my Aries sister, and we don't ever fight. That's the energy that we're talking about here. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. And Sylvester says, sending positive energy to those in conflict. Exactly. Leilani says, so true, Janet. That's why I try to communicate well. That way, whoever gets it, I know deserves it. I know that feeling. I have an Aquarius pre-birth lunar eclipse. And so I know that holding on to something for so long and, you know, standing back, appearing detached, being more objective. And then suddenly when that objectivity fails you, you're all in. And it is a tumble, knockdown kind of fight thing going on. So I get that. Good morning, Kathleen Mallory. She says, hi, I'm relatively new and welcome to you. It's wonderful to have new people joining us. And if you have any questions, feel free to type those in. If you are someone who's been listening in the background for a while, you know what we're doing. Augustina says, ha ha ha, true to that, Leilani. All right, I love it. Okay, let's go on to our talk about the full moon. I just want to make sure I get everything in today. So our Aries full moon happens at 5:06 p.m. East Coast time tomorrow. That will be 2:06. I have to go backwards because the chart I did over a year ago for the Energy Almanac, and I did it in East Coast time, even though I live on the West Coast, because I just needed everything to be on East Coast time for that. So 2:06 p.m. for us on the West Coast, 5:06 for you guys in the East. And for those of you in Europe and beyond, it will be Universal Time, 21:06. That is about 9:06 p.m. So pretty much a lot of the world experiencing the full moon tomorrow during the day. And then some of you actually seeing it at its fullness in the evening when it becomes dark. Now, this particular full moon and full sun and moon across from one another, that's the full moon, are at 9 degrees of Aries and Libra. So if you look into your own astrology charts, you're going to look for where 9 degrees is of those two signs. And if you've got a transit chart, you'll see on the outer wheel where those planets are now and how they're clicking into position for that full moon. So those two houses that the sun and moon are sitting across is where revelation may be happening. So I want you to think about it like this. The full moon, the moon, is the star of the show, right? It's the moon that's becoming full, illuminating something that has remained hidden from us. Likely that is an emotion. Likely it is a memory, something that has been frustrating us, something that that has just been sort of elusive. And during the full moon, then it's like suddenly able to become seen, and it can bust out into our awareness as a revelation, an aha moment, or an epiphany. But it can also be an emotional explosion of sorts that comes out and reveals something to you about what your true feelings are about something, about what you really desire, or what, where you really want to go, or who you really want to be. And then in that process is also the possibility of things coming to a head, a completion, a letting go of, a surrendering to the two luminaries being very bright in all of this, so that we can see clearly the path in front of us. Now, that doesn't necessarily happen in just a moment. It can, right? An aha, an epiphany certainly can, but it really has ramifications over the course of the next 2-week period between the full moon and the next new moon. So for a couple of weeks after a full moon, we can be grappling with the implications of what was revealed, what was completed, or what was the epiphany that we had. So just know that it's not just done today or tomorrow, as it were. It could be something that's drawn out. And more than just that, it can be something very subtle. I doubt that this moon will be subtle, but it's always possible that a full moon brings the subtle to the surface. Things that maybe you cannot change in the moment, but that could be where the frustration and anger or upset come during this particular lunation. Now, this is a lunation across Aries and Libra, an axis that is about relationships, right? Aries, the self, Libra, other. And how do we project upon one another? How do we live together in relationship? Aries is our self-assertion, right? Our self-individuation. It is the promoting of the self. It becomes very self-centered, if not selfish energy. While Libra, on the other hand, is compromising energy. So we have the moon in Aries pushing us forward to assert ourselves in the world. Libra, where the sun is, asking for balance and compromise and tact and diplomacy. You could almost see last night in the debates how that wasn't in evidence at all, right? It was very Mars-Aries oriented and no statesmanship involved there whatsoever. It was, I watched bits and clips of it. There's no way that my heart or my stomach or my soul could handle the whole of that, but seeing the clips and so forth, I was like, oh my gosh, this is never, ever going to be a good thing, right? When the people that we look to for possible leadership or for leadership in general are displaying such juvenile characteristics. So it's in our faces, right? It's in our faces. So where are we apt to be that way? So the sun in Libra is harmonizing, compromising, and compromising in a good way, creating win-win situations. That's what I mean by compromising, although sometimes it can go to that other end of that spectrum. It's diplomatic in relationships, where the moon in Aries is ready for battle. She's assertive. She has courage, the courage of her convictions, and she's ready and willing to put herself forward. So the full moon asks us to strike a balance, right, between these two parts of ourselves, the part of ourself that is forthcoming and wants to push ourselves out there in the world, and the part of ourselves that wants to be part of a relationship, that wants to be at peace and in balance with everyone. And so we're being taught during a full moon, or being asked, to balance independence with dependence, which becomes interdependence, right? That's a part of this full moon. We're seeking illumination as well during this period of time and what is declared in our lives out loud, either through words or actions of others or what we're seeing around us. And what's revealed now or what's completed now may not be particularly rational in the moment, right? It might feel unnatural to you to say, I'm done with this. And then there's the practical that comes later. Now, how do I get myself out of this, right? How am I going to do that? In the moment of the heat, it all seems so real and it seems so easy, you know, to just say I'm done and I'm out. But then over the next 2 weeks, you have the ramifications. How do I do that? Now, how do I go there? How do I get out of that? And then we have to ask ourselves the question about, are we honoring ourselves and the other proportionately and appropriately even, right? Are we balanced between self and other, or are we leaning more to the other? Are we leaning more to the selfish? And is that appropriate, right? Are we even able to manage that for this period of time? Now, I'm checking quick to see if that was... Asa. Okay. Nope. That wasn't a question. Okay. So when we take a look then at what the full moon is going to be like in terms of the people or the people in our lives, which are driven by the aspects between the planets, that's where things get dicey, right? That's where things go crazy, right? Because if you think about it, there's a lot of frustration, anger, outrage, fury even, seething beneath the surface, popping out at times through people's talk or through a social media storm or through riots or demonstrations, right? So we see that this anger is popping out at times. We've already been seeing that. But now you have these transits coming together, these aspects between planets that are very much bringing things together in a way that can be exploded outward. So when we see what's happening here, we see there's a real instability in the nature of the relationships of planets that the sun and moon are engaged with during this period of time. Instability can lead to what? Explosions. Right? It can lead to things that we don't expect. Expect the unexpected, because the planet involved here is Uranus. When we look at the chart, let me see if I can bring the chart up. I believe I had it here. That is it. Okay, good. So let me share the chart and you can see what I mean. All right, so here we go. Here is the sun and here is the moon. Moon very close to a conjunction with Chiron during the full moon. The sun up here kind of by himself in the sign of Libra. There's nothing else going on in Libra, but look at who he's connected to via an inconjunct, right? Or a quincunx, which is a very destabilizing kind of connection. It is a 150 degree angle, which means the sun in Libra doesn't get what's going on, but with Uranus and Taurus, and Uranus and Taurus doesn't get why Libra keeps giving it all away. And so we have an inconjunct here between the two planets. And that inconjunct is the unstable connection, right? This is where we can have instability in our emotions. And that can boil over and expand out or explode outward as anger or upset or rioting or demonstrations or saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, right? So actions and words right now, hard to monitor because we are not necessarily in the mood to be able to do that. Now, the ruler of the full moon, right? The moon is in Aries. Let me bring that up here. Moon is in Aries, conjunct our wounded healer, right? So conjunct Chiron. They're both opposing the sun. So you think there's some wounds and some healing that is potential here. Definitely. Either the wound being triggered by somebody or something, some event in your life, or it being triggered to healing by the same thing, somebody or something going on in your life. But the ruler of Aries is Mars. And Mars is in Aries right now, retrograde. They're not close to each other, technically speaking, by degree, but they are in the same sign. So we have an empowered moon. We have an empowered moon. We have an empowered Mars, Mars, even though Mars is in retrograde. So that's the interesting thing, right? Mars in retrograde is a little bit debilitated from his usual striking out and taking action. But he's also in a square to Saturn, which we saw yesterday became exact. It's not going to be that far off tomorrow. And we have the potential here then for quick tempers, for anger erupting, for bad judgment, right? In bad judgment on our part, saying or doing something that later we may regret. Knowing this ahead of time is priceless, because now when you're ready to open your mouth and spew, you can clamp down on your tongue, keep your mouth shut, walk away, and preserve the peace somewhat. So this is a highly charged, possibly dangerous moon, right? That's just one of the realities. It's not one that I really want to entertain as possible, but it's definitely possible because we have a lot of pent-up frustration and anger about a lot of different things. And it's not just us as individuals, it's also the collective and the possibility of acting impulsively, acting first, thinking later is really heightened. So be very aware of what's happening around you. Try not to get involved in pissing contests with anyone. There's no winners here, right? There are no winners here, literally. As in last night's debate, there are no winners when people just devolve into teenage behavior. It just doesn't go where you think it's going to go. So try not to play in that field. The best antidote then is to rise above that and create peace wherever you go, maintain a loving presence around you, and try not to put yourself in any positions tomorrow, and even the day after tomorrow, and even today, that you might have the possibility of creating tension or an argument with someone. And, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't things that should be said or things that should be done, but we're just not clear, right? It's almost like that fog, that red anger that comes over us when we get, you know, triggered, when we react. It's begging for us to become more response able, right? To be able to respond to what is showing up. But that also means in the right time, in the right place, in the right way, right? So just keep that in mind, but also keep in mind that other people around you are not listening to this particular broadcast. They're not hearing that there's this potential, and they may just act in a reactive sort of way. And you might be the receiver on the receiving end of that, because you know, you can say, all right, I get it. You're upset. How about if we table this for a while, maybe go take a walk, go for a run, go do something. And then we can, you know, bring this back into focus after this energy, this heightened energy passes. That would be the best way to do it. Now, if we look at human design, the sun is at the gate 18 during this full moon. The earth and the moon are the ones in a conjunction. So it's implied in our picture there that the moon and the earth will be in a conjunction. So we have moon, earth, Chiron, essentially in a conjunction. So we can be easily wounded, we can be easily triggered emotionally, and then the earth means that we might take action on those things practically. What is practical in the moment may be not correct, but we may, you know, just be chomping at the bit so much that we just can't keep a lid on it. It's like a volcano, right? Once it gets triggered and activated, it just has to spew. And so we may need to take steps to be able to monitor that. And the moon and the earth conjunction with Chiron are at the gate 17, which is the gate of opinions, right? Where we may just be spouting out things that we think we believe, that we think we know about, but we really don't, that there's no truth here in the gate 17. There is no truth here yet, because it is a part of the scientific method where we go out and we test the hypothesis. We have no facts yet. We only have an opinion, Right. And I did, I pulled out my book of lines this morning. This is the book that I like when I need more insight, called The Book of Lines. It is written by Ketan Parkin. Discover the person you were born to be. But in this book, he takes the each of the gates, and I know a lot of you have seen this before, but some of you are new, and he takes the gate, the 17, you get the I Ching symbol for it. You get to know what it means through the I Ching. You see where it is on the human design mandala. And it shows you here where that gate is, 17 in the Ajna. It tells you it's part of the channel 1762. By the way, 62 are where we have gathered some facts, but 62 isn't in play, right? It's 17 that's in play, the opinion, right? The untested, untried, untrue until we can prove it, hypothesis or opinion. And then over here on the other page, then he tells you more about it. He goes into the depth of the of what it means through the gene keys, and then through each of the lines, right? The lines being the little exponent number that you see. You can't see it, but if you look in your own human design chart, you'll see a little exponent number. So you have the main gate raised to a number. And the whole reason I had that out, I'm sorry, my mind is wandering here off into an email I just saw that came through that was disturbing and I shouldn't have looked at it, and I did. So now I'm triggered, but I'm going to hold my tongue. 17.6 is the line that the Earth and the Sun and the planet Chiron will be at. And it says, being the Bodhisattva, attuning to the higher levels of human consciousness. So by attuning to a higher level, we can maintain our distance from the anger and the upset. The moon is empowered in that particular line. And it says, the finger pointing at the moon, you can access the sincerity and simplicity of life. And you foster and express wisdom in ways to honor and align others in their own lives. So there's a high side to the moon's placement here. We just have to remember that. In the moment, right? So watching what you say, how you say it, when you say it, and recognizing whether you're spouting an opinion or is it a fact. And because the facts part is sitting on the throat center, have you been invited to speak it, right? There's the other part of this. Have you been invited to speak, to put words to whatever it is that you are seeing as an opinion? Even if it's married to facts, do you have the permission to speak it? That is always the way that the throat center works. It works best when it is invited out, right? Somebody says, how does this dress look on me? And you say, whatever it is, right? That's when truth can be valued, heard, and recognized. Up until then, it's just a bunch of huffing and bluffing and maybe not even invited words that no one is going to hear or recognize in the way that you are trying to put it out there. All right, I'm going to head over here, see what people are thinking and what people are saying. Leilani says, I'm not tuning into the politics unless there's going to be a battle to the death in a baby pool full of pudding, like a mud fight, but with pudding. Oh my gosh, wouldn't that just break the spell and everybody would start be laughing and having a great time? I don't know. But you know what? Here's the other thing that happens. What starts out as all fun and games can quickly shift to anger and upset, like nobody's business during this period of time. So maybe it's even best not to get involved in things like that. Andy says, I have my Mars 3 degrees in Aries in my 9th house. So this is an expansive house for you. So you're having to look at your higher truths, not those opinion truths, but the higher truths that are happening in your life for you. And thank you, J-Lo, for that. It hid your comment, but she's saying, if you like the video, hit the thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, etc. And Christine, thank you, Janet. Peaceful Hermit Day is best. Maybe so, right? Maybe so. It does make me happy that I work at home so that I don't have to deal with some of that crazy world out there. Kathleen Mallory says, I went to bed early. I couldn't stand to look. I was just watching what was I watching last? Oh yeah, Hell's Kitchen. I've really gotten into not that I like his rhetoric or how he speaks to people or how he behaves with people, but the food aspect of that show is absolutely fabulous. I've gotten some really good ideas about what to cook and how to cook. And so I love that show. So Hell's Kitchen, one way to get through this time. So Leilani says, at Kathleen, it will only serve to drain us. We missed nothing. And you know your own energy best. So you know what you can tolerate and what you cannot. And I know for me, this has been a difficult week energetically. I felt heavy all week already. Did I really want to add anger and confrontation on top of that? No, I did not. So if you know your own energy, you know what it's going to do to you, then it's best to steer clear of it if you can, right? It isn't really a part of your reality. If it's meant to be your reality, you would have been drawn to watch it, to take part in it in some way. So there we go. Mimi says she watched it all. I would be sure she would. Unsure, I can do that next time. Yeah, I get you. Oh, Mimi, blessings to you. Jessica Brooks, I felt triggered by the overtaking and such disrespect toward each person. I felt drained and left where I was early, and so glad I did. And yeah. I mean, that is a problem, right? That we can't even speak to one another civilly anymore. That a debate by nature is a setup for an argument, right? It is a conflict, usually a conflict of ideology, which in and of itself doesn't have to be conflictive. It could be just a sharing of a difference of a point of view. And it's always been undertaken. There's always been the potential for those kinds of explosions just because of the nature of what they're doing. But never before have they actually fallen into that trap of interrupting and naysaying and, you know, spilling out ugliness and, you know, such are the times that we live in right now. It was like watching two 2-year-olds on the playground. Or really watching two teenagers in age 13 or 14 and all of those volatile emotions that they have spilling out all over the place and none of it making any sense, right? So that is exactly what we're looking at. So when you're feeling triggered by that, Jessica, look to what it is that it's triggering within you, right? That's the only way to really use this. What does it mean for you? Maybe in your past, you've gotten drawn into arguments like that, where you kept being interrupted and what you were saying wasn't being heard or valued. And that triggered for you that feeling of powerlessness, whatever it is, it's up to you to look at that and understand what the trigger was, and then to work for the healing of that within yourself, right? Chiron's involved here with this full moon. So we have the possibility that we can heal through some of those things that have really triggered us in the past. I know I'm missing some comments here. I overheard my grandma listening to it and I was like, these people are nutcases. I get it. Okay. I don't know that I missed anything. If I've missed any questions, perhaps Asa, if you've been tracking them, let me know. I was like a volcano a few days ago spewing. Maybe I was feeling these energies early. Well, not only have you been feeling those energies early, we've had other triggers, right? Mars squared Saturn for the whole month, basically, of September, and will for another 2 weeks into October. That is a very difficult energy, right? It's Saturn is restraint. Saturn is limits and boundaries. Mars in retrograde is stirring up the frustrations, the anger, and the upsets that have been sort of hidden. And then it meets up with trying to go somewhere with all of that. And it can't necessarily. They're kind of locked in a battle of wills here. And somewhere, somehow, we have to find the release. Now, if we can consciously release through something else, like yesterday, I spent a good deal of time in the afternoon out in the garden pulling weeds, right? That was a good release of energy, grounding, hands in the dirt, feeling like I'm making progress because I can see immediately when those weeds come out, how nice the flower bed looks. So that kind of energy is a more positive expression than one that would be, you know, going out and being angry at someone for whatever it is that you are upset about. So we do have the power. We do have the ability to move into the peacefulness of things. Leslie, hello there to you. Debbie Tibbetts, I enjoyed it. Politicians can be amusing. Just wish I could hear all the comments. J-Lo, woohoo. My meds had me asleep through it, so I missed out on all of it. So I've been hearing about it, but not sure what it was all about. You're probably better off. I don't know that anybody knows what any of it was all about because everybody, they were all being interrupted. And so anyway, crazy, crazy, right? Okay, so let's see, time-wise, 8:40. Let's take a look now at what we were going to chat about today, which is the sixth house in astrology. That is the next house on our list. Hold on a moment. I need to find a chart that I made up for us this morning, or a graphic. And I'm going to share my screen. Here we go. And I'm going to need to make this just a titch bigger. Not that way. Here we go. So the sixth house in an astrology chart. Here we go. The sixth house is the last house of the personal houses, right? Houses one through six are really about the personal us and the different parts of our lives. Once we get above the descendant, these are our interpersonal houses and how we work with the world. These are how we work within our families and with our money, with ourselves and our home and our roots and our romance and love, right? That was our fifth house last week. The sixth house now takes us into the health of the body. It is the house of work, service, the way that we, how healthy we are, how we view health. And as such, then it comprises a very important part of our 12 houses. And it is a house that is ruled naturally by Virgo, and by Virgo also with the planet Mercury. So it has a very important place. As it is the last house of the personal strength that we have, right? Before we move out, all of these first six houses are personal and show our personal strengths and our own weaknesses and what we're working on. Then in the next seven or the next six houses, excuse me, it's going to be about how we apply those personal things to the outer world. So that's the difference here. So the sixth house, in the area of work, it is really about where you work, right? The environment about work. Are you working from home? Are you working in a crazy environment? Are you in a big city? Are you in a rural area? And your preferences as to where you work. Even if you would prefer to work in a rural area, but you find yourself living in a big city or having to commute to a big city to work, you can create an environment in the workplace for yourself that connotes peace or calm and that type of thing. So it's the environment of the workplace and what you prefer to work in, as well as the employees that you work with, or how you as the leader of maybe a group of people are as a boss, and or who your boss is. So employers and employees. This is the house about the training that you might have had to undergo for the work that you're doing. So for example, when we talk about the third house and the ninth house, these are houses that are about education. So the high school through high school here in the third, and the ninth house being a university college level. In the sixth house, it might be trade schools that we attend, right? Maybe if you're a beautician, you go to beauty school. If you want to be an IT tech, you might go to a tech school, those kinds of things. So it hones it into the smaller school that you might be involved in training for the job that you want to do. And it is also a house that rules those we serve, as well as those who serve us. So it can be the employees that you hire and how they work for you and how you treat them as employees. And it can be about your dependents, right? Your kids or the people that depend upon you to go out and earn a living. So the sixth house around work has all of those kinds of qualities. And then when we look at life, or health of the body, this is the house that would represent the health of the body, physical. So diet, fitness, hygiene, what are we taking in and what are we releasing and all of those things there. How we meet our fears is also a part of the sixth house and how it affects our health. And literally the sixth house across from it is the 12th, right? These houses even aren't just, they are places where the action takes place, but they're also drawing in the energy from the other house. We're doing a sort of look into each of the houses separately, but a part of some of the things that happen in the sixth house are because of the 12th house. And the 12th house has a lot to do with karma. It has a lot to do with fear and limits and restrictions. And that shows up in our physical body. So our psychology is showing up in our physiology. And that's what we might be seeing here in the sixth house. So how do we meet our fears, right? The sign here, planets here might help us discern how it is that you as a person deal with crises or with upsets in your life. So for example, put a Cancer here or a Pisces here, a Scorpio here, right? A Pisces or Cancer might deal with this very emotionally. They may begin to overeat or to oversoothe themselves. If it's Pisces, maybe they turn to addictive behaviors, alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, whatever it is. If you put Scorpio here, there may be a tendency to want to get revenge and to do things, you know, with the scorpion stinger, getting back at whatever it is that has triggered you here in the physical. So the sixth house then also shows us how we work on ourself, right? The relative strength of the body, but also the crises that we, how do we deal with a crisis in our health? How do we deal with a crisis of faith in our life, right? Something that's happened, a trigger, a crisis, a breakup, a leaving of a job. How do we deal with all of that in the physicality of ourselves? And it is also the house of healers. So frequently we find people like, say, Cancer here, we might find nurses, right? Nurses who care for others. And we might find, if this is Aries here, we might find fitness instructors or people who are, you know, very physically active, maybe exercising a lot or taking, you know, good care of their physicality. We might, if we had an earth sign here, we might find people, I think, that like to deal with things head on and are, you know, very willing to dig in and do what needs to be done. Let's see, fire signs here, of course, may react with fire initially. Sagittarius here, for example, may be very active and exploring and willing to look at all of the causes for whatever it is that's happening here. So we have a lot of different ways that the sixth house can get expressed based on the sign. And then any planets placed in there may further change the way that that sixth house is set up. The sixth house is also the house of the daily routines in our lives, right? How do we live our daily life? Those simple questions, what will I wear? What color do I want to be today? How am I going to wear my hair? When am I going to, you know, put my makeup on? When am I going to do all of that stuff? Have I taken my vitamins? Have I made my bed? Have I put things away? Have I fed the dog or the cat? All of those things that keep us on time, right? That keep us in routine, the things that we do, we know we do every morning, right? Get my cup of coffee, drink part of it before the show so I have some coffee in me, and then leave the rest of it for later because I can't drink and talk at the same time. All of those things, right? Those little tiny things that make up the whole of your day. Like, what do I do from here, right? What comes next and what comes after that? All seen in the sixth house. Believe it or not, the sixth house also shows us our relationship to small animals, the more domesticated animals that we think of, right? Dogs and cats, maybe even your rabbits or hamsters or fish, or, you know, what kind of animal or pet would you prefer? The 12th house alternately rules large animals, cows and horses and llamas and, you know, all the things that we think of as the bigger animals that we might be interested in. So our house animals, our home animals, and our farm animals on the other side. The sixth house also represents duties, responsibilities, and how do we meet up with those in our lives, our obligations, and are we someone who procrastinates, or do we meet them head on, or do we put off until tomorrow what we don't want to do today? How do we feel about what we need to do on a daily basis? How do we confront the issues that we have in our lives? How do we rise up to meet challenges and crises in our lives? Do we meet it head on? Do we hide from it? Do we confront? Do we, and then hide? Do we eat our way through it? Do we drink our way through it? What is it that we use as a coping mechanism when we move into crisis? I mean, part of our lives are those things that happen, right? Crises and challenges. So the sixth house shows us how we deal with that kind of energy through the sign and the planets that are there. This is also a house in the more negative expression, can be people that take things to the nth degree, workaholicism, exercise mania, right? We've all seen people that just are just manic about that. Hypochondria, people who are constantly aware of every little thing that's going on in their body, and they choose to look at it as, I'm getting sick. Something must be wrong with me. I've had this ache in my back for a week. I must have sciatica. I'm making it up. I don't know. But hypochondria. I actually have people in my life who are like that, and they drive me absolutely bonkers, because the first thing out of their mouth anytime they come into contact with me or anybody in the family is all about their health. Ah, my blood pressure, I can't walk, I can't do this. Drives me crazy, right? So if you look at a chart of someone, perhaps Virgo sitting there, or planets like Mercury there that are debilitated in some way, you might have the tendency to see somebody who is expressing the extremes of health or exercise or work, or a person even like a Mother Teresa, who, as much as we loved her, spent a good deal of her time dealing with a specific people in her life, right? Poor people, or the ill, or the infirm, and how much of her service was out of balance perhaps with how she took care of herself. I don't know, because I've never read any stories about her. But when you think about even how we serve others, which is a part of the sixth house, do we do it in balance and harmony, or do we get out of balance, right? How do we deal with that? All right, questions about the sixth house. And let's go back here. Okay, so Asa must have asked me a question here. Indeed, she did. Question, Leilani is asking, what does it mean when you have an empty sixth house? That's a good question, because you could have an empty sixth house, but it never means what you think. Like, I haven't got health, or I don't get to exercise, I'm not working. It doesn't mean any of that. It means that we have to look to the ruling planet for the house and the sign that is there. So for example, if you have Cancer there and it's a completely open house, we might have to look at where the moon is in the chart, because the moon and its house is going to pertain to that sixth house for you. And planets that transit through the sixth house at times are triggering events that could bring on a crisis or challenging you to be better at something, to work harder, job changes, arranging of your life. So planets transiting have an effect on that sixth house as well. And again, knowing what the sign is can help you determine what the ruling planet is. So for example, if you had Scorpio there and Pluto or Mars were making a transit through that sign on that house, you might be very aware of the need to watch how things are transforming. Are you being, or something that needs to be regenerated, and being able to take action on those things that need to maybe regenerate your health or regenerate your work, that kind of thing. So I hope that helps. Puffing Pixie, what do you think it means when you have your south node in the sixth house in Pisces? Well, I would say the south node is always going to take you back to the past, right? Maybe past lives, a karmic string, a karmic strand connected to that sixth house of work, of service, or of health. Pisces likes to dissolve, right, into something. So did this in a past life create a sense of you dissolving your responsibilities into, you know, not being responsible? Did you dissolve your ability to serve, maybe by not dealing with your own problems, but dealt with everybody else's problems? Did you suffer from addictions in previous lifetimes? So note what's coming up in your life about your health, about your job, and about the people, the daily routines that you get yourself into, because that may be the source, right? Past lives, the past experiences. And now you need to take that Piscean dissolving disillusionment and move it to the North Node, which then for you must be in the 12th house and in the sign of Virgo. So being practical and down to earth in how it is that you making a routine, right? Having a routine, taking care of those visits to the doctors, to the dentist on a regular schedule so that you don't go into fear about your health or about the things in your life that disrupt your life, like crises, etc. So hopefully that helps there. Puffing Pixie Taylor, I have Gemini there with my Mercury in the 12th house, subconscious influences, right? Fears, limits, blocks, past lives, things that are kept in a prison of sorts. You even keeping yourself in a prison in the 12th house, affecting how well you're able to speak to what it is that you want to do in your life. So that, hopefully that helps. And J-Lo, have Uranus there at 0 degrees. Does it make it stronger because it's closer to the house aspect of what governs the house or the placement I have it in? Yeah, that's a loaded question, J-Lo, because it does. 0 degrees and a 29 degrees are always like calling attention to something for you in your life. Uranus might be calling your attention to awakening, right? Awakening through your health, awakening through the work you do, awakening through how you serve others. So Uranus here may be giving you opportunities to become more service oriented, to deal with crises in a more organized, you know, way. Did you tell me what sign that was? I don't know what, so you have, I need to know the sign to really know, or look at the sign. You yourself can almost interpret this for yourself as to what kinds of crises that you have to deal with. And Puffing Pixie says, thank you so much. That really helps. As I've grown older, I've learned to stick to routines and keep up on health checks, as well as be disciplined about any drinking. Absolutely. So your South Node is serving you well, right? Because it's reminding you of times past where drinking got out of control, where you weren't taking care of your health, and something that started out small had a bigger impact because you didn't take care of it initially. And so you have a lot of potential here to really move toward that Virgo North Node. It doesn't mean that you leave the imagination and the creativity of the sixth house Pisces behind. You incorporate that into how you routinely show up in your life. The house is Scorpio, J-Lo says. So Scorpio, Uranus, things that have a huge transformational effect on you. So big, very emotional things. Then taking a look at how you use energies like possessiveness, jealousy, stubbornness, intensity in your life, and how that may play into a negative health aspect for yourself, right? So watching for all of those things. Puffing Pixie. Okay. Capricorn. Jessica has Capricorn in the sixth. So Capricorn on the sixth would be ruled by the planet Saturn. So Capricorn is a very busy place these days. So your sixth house must be fairly lit up with Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn, Pallas Athena, and Chiriclo, and who else was there earlier? It was Ceres, I believe, that was there earlier. So a lot of focus on that sixth house of health, Jessica. What are you healing? Right? Where are you working? And is your work under some sort of crazy change? The dynamic in your day-to-day routine, has that changed? And the fact is, Capricorn is a sign that has stability. It has solidity. And over the last few years, perhaps as these planets were building up this energy here, you may have felt destabilized in your life. Changes happening that seemed beyond your control, and kind of feeling the sand beneath your feet as opposed to the concrete beneath your feet. And how did you rise to those challenges, right? Did you want to stay stuck in the past, or are you willing to move forward into the future? So there's a lot of potential here for just going with the flow, but a lot of times that Saturn energy gets very stuck and rigid. So having to learn how to be more pliable and yielding and bending and going with the flow would serve you really well, especially there with Capricorn. So you do have, what's the word I was thinking of? Resiliency. Right? Capricorn on the sixth house would be learning to be resilient in this lifetime, but not breaking because of a challenge, going with the flow. Andy girl, my north node is in Pisces. So you've got the opposite of puffing pixie, Andy girl, in that your north node is pushing you more toward, is it in Pisces in the sixth house or what? So before I go further with that, please make that clearer for me. And as we go on here, J-Lo got that. Tom, good morning. Orange shirts for res school abuse. I'm not sure what you're talking about, Tom. That's kind of random, but maybe clear that up for me. And Christine Buckingham says, yes, indeed. Absolutely, Jessica says. Okay, so let's take a look at a couple of charts, shall we? And I'm ever mindful, always mindful of permission being granted in order to use a chart. If I use a chart that doesn't have a name on it, I don't feel like I need anybody's permission to use that chart. So if there's no name on it, it's a random chart. You are the only one that's going to know. So I'm just clearing that up because that's part of an irritation, a trigger that I got in an email just while we were first coming on air this morning. I never, ever use a chart without someone's permission. Many of you, Mimi and J-Lo and Debbie and others of you who've been with me for a very long time have just given me sort of blanket permission to look at your charts. And I do, and others of you whose charts I find interesting, I block off names so no one else will know whose chart that is. So please remember, I am ever, ever aware of people's anonymity, and the people's charts I do show are almost always either hidden or I make sure that the birth information isn't shown, right? But it doesn't mean that I can't use that information if it is a teaching aspect for everyone else involved. And I will, right? All right, Christine Buckingham, permission given. I love it. All right, Christine, so you said that. You get to be the first one here. So let's take a look at your sixth house. And, you know, this is how we learn about ourselves, by the way, by being able to look at each other's charts. I don't mind if you want to be anonymous because I recognize some people just don't want their age given, or they don't want their birth dates or times out there. I get that. But it doesn't mean that we can't learn something from the chart. We'll just make sure it's more anonymous. So Miss Christine Buckingham, I'm pretty sure we had to go through a process of adding you in here, didn't we? But you're not here. Okay. So Christine, would you please, did you have another last name that I might've put it under? So let me know that because I really do want to take a look at your chart. And if not, give Asa your birth information so that she can send it to me. I'm writing your name down here so we can go back to that chart. All right, who else has given me permission to look at their charts here today? Let me go back to YouTube. How can I get a mystery chart reading? I'm not sure what you mean. I don't know what you mean, Sylvester. How could I get a mystery chart reading? So you want to have your chart read, but but not be known that it's yours. Is that what you mean? I give permission. All right, Sylvester, let's see if I've got you in here. I keep meaning to tell you this, Sylvester. Did you know that my maiden name was Miller? So we're related, I'm sure, somewhere along the line in some way. I always say that to all the Millers out there. Sylvester, I have your chart here. Awesome. And in fact, when I was a cheerleader in high school, my name was Miller Time because that was the time when they had Miller beer commercials where they were singing the song, if you want to relax, one beer stands clear, beer after beer. Yeah, Miller, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I had Miller Time tattooed or embroidered on my clothing. It's pretty funny, actually. Let's take a look at a transit chart here for you. and we'll see what is happening in your sixth house. While I'm hoping Christine is giving birth information to Asa so I can bring hers up. Nope, not yet. Okay, but I'll be waiting for that. Or Christine, if you had a different last name that I might have had it under. Okay, Sylvester, so we're going to take a look here, moving away from his birth information so you cannot see it. And, oh, I have to share the chart. Forgot about that, or you won't see it. And here we go. Sylvester, wow. So you and Jessica have a very similar sort of situation going on here with a very powerful Capricorn bunch going on in your house of health. So right now with that, so here's kind of how I look at this. When I look at a chart, I see by birth, a lot of planets in Capricorn. In fact, you have Mars, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Venus in retrograde, and Mercury all in your, well, actually, yeah, they're all sitting right here, very sort of tight together, even in the house of health in the seventh or sixth. I'm looking at the seven. That always reminds me of a seven, but it's Capricorn. So we have a lot of planetary energy here, maybe creating some health challenges, crises in your life. Now, they might not have initially been health crises, right? It could have been other kinds of crises that were occurring in your life that sort of were destabilizing your childhood, even maybe from previous lifetimes even coming in, because there's a karmic connection here in Capricorn as it's ruled by Saturn. He is the Lord of Karma. And that means likely some lessons that you came here to learn. So crises-driven health challenges, crises-driven challenges in your workplace, in your body, in the way that you give back. And it creates a problem for you eventually, maybe moving out of the spiritual and into the physical. So having to deal with these things one after another. Then just off the cuff, looking in the 12th house, I see Chiron. So Chiron showing me that likely there's a lot of fear, a lot of stuff hidden in that 12th house. Maybe it's sabotaging, self-sabotage. Maybe it's fears. Maybe it's limitations where you're holding the key around your neck, but you don't realize it, that you're holding the key to unlocking all of the fear, all of the crises energy so that you can heal it in this lifetime. Now, fast forward to 2019, 2018, 2019, 2020, and even on until 2024 with the planet Pluto, you're dealing with transiting planets moving through here that are breaking you down to rebuild you. Right? So breaking you down to rebuild you. So as these things are coming up, applying love, applying peace, applying, you know, just a processing of all of the caca that is in there that needs to be regenerating your health, that needs to be reimagining what is possible for you. So you have a potential here for really moving through these crises periods of in your life and renewing yourself, right? Becoming more sustainable and having more of the pleasure side of life than just the challenging crisis-oriented sort of energy. Hopefully that helps you out there. Let me see, I just saw something pop up here. Aha, okay. All right, so does that make sense? And Sylvester, while you are thinking about that, I'm gonna go over here and add in Christine's new information. Stop sharing my screen for a moment. And then we'll look at Christine's chart. Somehow my fingers can't spell right. So we have a March of, okay, 9/24. I'm having a healing crisis with my fingers here. There we go. I couldn't get it to come up with New Jersey. And there we go. Irvington. There we go. Perfect. All right. So let's bring up your chart. And Christine, let me share the screen. and take a look. So you're one of the ones that have Scorpio sitting there. This should be fun. And let's share. Okay. So Christine, this is your chart. We're looking again at the sixth house. Now, unfortunately, I just let this go to my, I'm going to change it right now because when I already see a problem here, I should change my default setting because what I really wanted to make sure I had was the house. Here we go. House system as the whole signs. Because I really like to do it that way. All right, so now let's take a look at this again. So what we see then is actually your sixth house is a Libra house. So needing balance and harmony and not equivocating on supporting your own health. Often being pulled into dramas from other people. And that, you know, because you have a spirit of wanting to be, you know, make nice and to balance things in your life, to make harmony and peace, you may be giving away too much of yourself in the health part of your chart. You may be challenged with burnout. You may be challenged with adrenal stress, right? The cortisols that trigger the fight, flight, or freeze sort of energies, and they may be triggered in you because you're busy trying to help everybody else. Over here on this end in Aries, where you have your 12th house, is your natal Black Moon Lilith and Eris, and they've been triggered from all of the planets that have passed through there over the last several months. So likely maybe you're feeling really burned out and you need to do something that really takes on some healing. So the things that you might have been doing for others, make sure that you go and serve yourself in that same capacity. Maybe taking time for yourself to de-stress, maybe treating yourself to a mani-pedi or a massage or some other form of healing that can restore balance and harmony to your physicality. The sun is moving through this Libran area right now, so it's really putting the spotlight on what you can do to help yourself in that respect. Now, interestingly enough here, you have Jupiter at 0 degrees right here on the descendant, if you will, and the cusp of the seventh house. And it has a yod pointed at it, right? You see from the Black Moon Lilith over here to Jupiter and from your natal ascendant at 28 degrees of Taurus up to Jupiter. So there's a lot of energy needing to focus on balancing your needs with others in relationship, especially. And you have several planets in your relationship house. And I know I'm going outside of the sixth house here, but it's very important for you to recognize this because Mercury is retrograding in this part of your chart. He'll make it almost all the way up to the moon, retrograde backward all the way through, hitting your natal Neptune, your natal North Node, and your natal Jupiter, and coming back into what is your solar eclipse, prenatal solar eclipse. So what are you here to teach us all? You're here to teach us all about balance, how to be, and you might teach us that from being totally out of balance and out of whack, or you can teach it to us by being willing to come back into balance and back into harmony. I had no clue that we are so far after 9 o'clock and I have a reading to do, so I'm gonna need to stop this now. So hopefully that helped everybody get an idea of what can happen with the sixth house. And I apologize having to do that. Andy girl, thank you very much for that permission. And Sylvester says, you helped me so much. I feel what you said and I am transforming. I love it. Transforming is what it's all about. All right, guys, much love to all of you. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow. Unbelievably, it's Thursday tomorrow. October 1st, full moon. We'll be ready to do some oracle card readings. Maybe if you want, we can also do a couple more natal chart readings or looking at the sixth house.